You're listening to FMGRadio.com. Welcome to The Happiness Choice, the show that shares with you the secrets to how you can find more happiness each day, with your host, Marilyn Tam.
Hello and welcome. This is Marilyn Tam, your host for The Happiness Choice. As you know, every week we interview different experts on the five aspects to happiness. Today, we have Dr. Joseph McCullough, a fabulous and fascinating doctor of osteopathic medicine. His website, McCullough.com, is the world's most visited natural health website, averaging over 14 million visitors monthly and with over 1 million subscribers. That includes myself. Dr. McCullough's mission is to ignite a transformation in the flawed U.S. healthcare system and to inspire people to take control of their health. He has two New York Times bestsellers, The Great Bird Flu Hoax and The No-Grain Diet. He was also voted the ultimate wellness game changer by the Huffington Post and has been featured in Time Magazine, LA Times, CNN, Fox News, ABC News, and even more. Please help me welcome Dr. Joseph McCullough to the Happiness Choice Show.
Well, thank you for having me today, Meryl. It's quite an honor.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I know that our listeners are just going to be so eager to hear your suggestions and your ideas and how you maintain happiness because of all the work you've done over the years about mind-body connection. And I've seen you actually talk about happiness on your website too. Mm-hmm. If you would share some of your own secrets for happiness.
Certainly. There are some basic simple ones, and the primary one is to be able to understand and recognize what your passion is. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what your passion is, and I think that's the very first step to identify that, because in my view, that is really one of the keys of being happy is understanding your, not only understanding and identifying your passion, but being able to follow that so that your work is essentially your passion. And then everything flows and you from that, and you jump out of bed with joy and enthusiasm. You can't, and you really don't even want to go to sleep because you're so excited about everything that you're doing. So life is a great joy. And I think that's really the primary principle. And I've been fortunate to be able to do that in my own life, and which is one of the other principles that leads to success. If you're able to work in your passion, then you know you'll be successful. Maybe not necessarily financially, but certainly emotionally and from a happiness perspective.
Well, that's so great. I'm so glad you started with that because that's the primary premise too in my book, The Happiness Choice. Because I talk about people needing to have and to understand their life purpose, why they're here, and from there, everything else happens. And I'm so glad you brought up as that you are living your life purpose, and that's why you are in a place of choosing happiness. What other secrets do you have for happiness in your own life?
Well, you know, my passion is really understanding health and integrating that with technology. Mm-hmm. And I focus mostly on physical health as a medical doctor and having seen tens of thousands of patients, you know, that's really my major area of expertise. So there are clearly mental, emotional components of happiness. And if you were probably to break those down, that would probably be the most important, you know, you make sure that you're emotionally and mentally healthy. And one of the most important tools that I've learned in my journey of health is psychological acupuncture or energy psychology. I'm sorry, I was just had a little derivative there. It's energy psychology. And there's a number of different disciplines within energy psychology. And the most common one and the one that's most typically used is something called EFT, or short for Energy Freedom Technique, which is a series of tapping on acupuncture meridians that is done in conjunction with a verbal dialogue that essentially activates these neurological circuits in us that are responsible for much of the distress that we have in our life that really impairs us, a lot of these negative habits. And it's been a really profoundly useful healing tool. And you can use it in two ways. One is you can use it for yourself and tap on yourself and give yourself positive affirmations. But for the more important and serious issues, it's always better to find a trained therapist because there is a certain art of performing this. And I've just never seen anything more effective or more profoundly beneficial at really accelerating the resolution of many people's psychological distresses.
This is a great thing, because I've practiced EFT myself. But for our listeners who haven't been exposed to this before, can you describe a little bit more about EFT so that they can start trying it themselves before they find a practitioner?
Well, you know, there's a limited time here, so it is an important concept. And if this my description intrigues someone, I would recommend going on the web and Googling it, because it's a relatively simple technique. It only takes about 2 minutes to learn, but really it's far more profound and takes many years to become proficient in actually understanding the subtleties of it and applying it so you can get effective results, which is why I caution people if they're treating a serious challenge that they should always really seek a good professional who's well trained in this for a number of years.
So they can probably go on your website, mercola.com, and find more information.
Yeah, they can do that, or you use Google. So there's a lot of information. There's over 10,000 psychologists who use this. It's the most popular one, but there's a lot of derivatives of EFT.
And so this is something you do daily?
I don't do it unless I need it. But if I had an emotional challenge, it would be certainly one I would use. If I encounter one of my friends or relatives who has a serious problem, it's the first step I would take. Mm-hmm. It's great for kids, too.
Oh, that's good, because it doesn't hurt. That's
a it's basically free almost, unless you're seeing a therapist, but it's quite profoundly useful.
What else do you do in your own life to maintain your equilibrium and your happiness? I know you eat, you have a certain diet that you follow. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yes. There's a number of different strategies, but I think if you, and it's just a simple analogy would be cars. If you're putting poor fuel into your car, it's not going to perform very well. Mm-hmm. So I think focusing on the fuel that you put in your body is going to really allow you to maximize your genetic and biochemical potential. So the basic recommendation here is, of course, to eat whole natural foods. Oh, at least 75% of the food that most Americans eat is processed foods. And it's really very difficult to be healthy and happy if you're eating processed foods all the time. Not saying you can't never have them, but if that's your regular diet, like most people, then you're really going to run into a challenge, not only in happiness, but in long-term degenerative diseases. So, and it's so simple, you know, an ounce of prevention is literally worth probably a ton of cure in this space. And, you know, if the culture understood this and really was able to apply these recommendations, then, you know, our whole healthcare system would be transformed almost overnight, because the bulk of the diseases we have is really from our these exposures and having foods that aren't really optimized to improve our health.
What do you do personally? Because I know that you have amazing stamina. As far as somebody of any age, you are right up on the top of the scale of health and well-being.
Sure, I like to think so. And you know, that's one of my primary commitments. So there's two strategies that are particularly useful. One is to skip breakfast for me personally, and to engage in a process that is now being called intermittent fasting, because our ancestors never had access to a grocery store 24/7. So it makes sense to think that our genes are optimized for not having food every 8 hours, like almost or more frequently, is like almost all of us do. So and when you do that, you shift your biochemistry to burn carbohydrates, because there's only two fuels your body can burn realistically: is carbs and fat. And most everyone listening to this is adapted to burn carbs. That's why if they're not eating regularly, or if they go for food without some time, they start to feel dizzy or the energy level goes down, because their enzymes to break down the fat really aren't adapted. And they can't, even though they have plenty of fat, they can't use it. So this intermittent fasting helps your body adjust to be able to burn that fat and maintain your ideal body weight and body composition. So it's basically the way that you implement it is you don't do it all at once. You do it slowly, and you start by not eating for 3 hours before you go to bed. And then when you wake up, just go as long as you can until you need to eat some food. And then you gradually extend that time forward every day for a week or a few weeks, maybe in a few months, to the point where you've actually skipped breakfast and you're eating lunch. And your body will adjust. The healthier you are, the quicker it does, is able to do that. And it's really a profoundly useful tool. And one of the most amazing components of it is that your desires for junk foods and cravings for sugar, they almost disappear, which is really almost magical. And because it gets you, because it really kickstarts your fat burning mechanisms so that you're actually able to burn fat and you don't really need the sugar as much.
That's exciting, I'm sure. Listeners, anybody who is looking to be healthier and, of course, lose weight, that seems to be a primary consideration in our country, is that everybody seems to me that they're too heavy. So if we slow down the time in which we eat, so instead of first thing in the morning, which we've heard for so long that we're supposed to eat immediately upon waking, is to not eat for a while.
Yeah, and it restricts your calories to within about a 6 or 8 hour window. So, you know, you're basically eating for 6 or 8 hours, and for 16, 18 hours, you're not. I mean, you can have as much water as you want, but you don't really want to have food.
And does that have anything to do with the number of calories you eat?
No, you can have as many calories as you want. Of course, the foods that you eat should be healthy, and I believe in as many essentially unlimited vegetables. Mm-hmm. Don't go crazy with protein, because too much protein can be almost every bit as bad as too much sugar. So most people only need about 50 to 70 grams of protein a day. I mean, if you're pregnant or you're exercising competitively, you may need some more. But that's about the extent that we all need. And I would say the average person has 2 to 3 times as much as they need, and that causes its own problems. Mm-hmm. And then they have the bulk of the calories with healthy fats, like olive oils, macadamia nuts, butter, eggs. You know, those are healthy, and avocados, coconut oil. These are fats that your body loves and can burn as a healthy fuel.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you've been sprouting a lot, too.
Oh, yes. That's another key. I think live raw foods are useful. And I became intrigued with sprouts when I learned that a sprout will have up to 30 times the nutrition of a vegetables grown in your garden.
Wow.
So, I mean, you're getting super condensed, high potency nutrition when you have sprouts. So I have about 6 to 8 ounces of sunflower seeds that I sprout personally every day. Mm-hmm. And I just really enjoy it. And that's my primary meal, is a salad, which consists of none of that, but some butter, some type of protein, either fish or maybe a little beef. About 3 or 4 ounces, not that much. It's just a really small amount. And then onions and red peppers and fermented vegetables, which is another really powerful key, because it helps optimize the bacteria in our gut. And the gut bacteria outnumber the cells in our body by 10 to 1. Mm. So it's really important to have those bacteria performing well, because they make most of the neurotransmitters that your body uses. I mean, most of the serotonin in your body is made in the gut. It's not in your brain. So it's hard to have your brain functioning well unless your gut is healthy.
And that also means that if our gut is not healthy, our moods are going to be compromised,
too. Absolutely, absolutely. There's no question.
So that's really important.
And then another important principle, and one of the reasons why I spend a lot of time in Florida, is to get exposure to sunshine. Yes, you can take oral vitamin D, and sometimes that's really the only option you have if you're kind of stuck up north and you're working all the time and you can't get outside. But there's other benefits to vitamin D from being exposed to sun than just the vitamin D. So I think that's the ideal way to do that, and it's the way we're designed, it's the way our ancestors were. So you want to be careful, of course, and you never want to get sunburnt. But regularly exposing to large amounts of your skin to the sun will just sort of generally optimize your vitamin D level. You don't have to worry about getting your blood level tested. Mm-hmm. But if you are able to do that and you take oral vitamin D, then probably getting some blood tests would be a wise idea. But it's a really important vitamin. It really isn't a vitamin. It's a steroid hormone. It controls about at least 10% of our genes in our body by turning them on and off appropriately. So it protects, probably reduces your risk of cancer and heart disease. By 50%. What other supplement do you know that's going to cut down your risk of cancer by 50%? I mean, it's just crazy. And you don't have to take this as a supplement. Ideally, the best way is just to get it from the sun.
Yes. You and I are really blessed. You're in Florida and I'm in California, where we get the most sunshine. And I know for myself, even when the sun isn't shining, I just don't feel as well. So I think there's a big component of emotional well-being associated with sunshine, too.
Mm-hmm. No question about it.
Yeah. So for people who's listening in, they should know that there's EFT, the emotional tapping technique, trying to limit the number of hours to eat in a day, reducing the amount of sugary and processed food, looking to eat more sprouted food and fermented food. Mm-hmm. What else should they do?
Well, you know, a big part of the equation are the fats that you eat. You know, I'm a big believer in fat. About 67% of my diet is fat, but it's not just any fat. And in fact, if you're eating the typical fat that most people do, you will get sick and die prematurely, no question about it, because the typical person is having these processed oils, these vegetable oils, like canola or cottonseed or soy oil, which are highly processed, never designed to be eaten in large amounts by the human body. And they're highly contaminated, especially with the, you know, most of the soy and corn oil are genetically modified, and as a result, they're contaminated with really potent herbicides like glyphosate, which is really, we don't even begin to understand the full negative consequences of that on the human race. So you can avoid all that by just eating healthy fats. That would be things like avocados and coconut oil and butter and eggs and macadamia nuts. You know, these are health and animal fats. These are healthy fats that you could have in relatively large quantities and still not have any negative consequences. And, you know, you'll be satiated much quicker, so you really won't be overeating on your calories. You know, you never want to eat more calories than you need. But when you're having the right foods, your appetite is really suppressed at a much lower amount of foods. It's when you're eating these empty calories that your body craves more and more, and you get to these food addictions.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the listeners are just so excited to learn that you can eat healthy, live well, and also just eat the things they really want. Because I know that fat is a big component. Everybody's no-no that has been told by people.
Oh, sure. And there's a long history of that. You know, it started in the 50s with the research by Ansel Keys in the seven countries today, I believe, that really permeated its way through most of the healthcare professionals and the scientists. And even to this day, you know, saturated fat is pretty much vilified.
Mm-hmm. And yet there are so many good aspects
As long as you're eating the healthy fats. You know, if you don't want to fry a saturated fat and form trans fats, that would be not good for you. But a healthy fat that's minimally processed, then, you know, it typically tends to promote your health, because the reason it does that, it tends not to have an influence on two major control systems that are responsible for your health, which is the insulin and leptin, which are powerful hormonal signaling systems in your body, then also a newer one called mTOR, which is short for mammalian targeted rapamycin, and that's a cancer pathway that was discovered about 10 years ago, but it's really ancient. It's been around since time immemorial in most species. And when you eat lots of extra protein, this pathway is stimulated, and it can contribute to increasing amounts of cancers.
Fascinating. I just can't wait to do our interview next week so you can share more about how to be healthy and happy. Thank you, Dr. Mogola. And for people who want more information about Dr. Mogola's work, they can definitely go to his website, mogola.com. It's mercola.com. And thank you again. Look forward to talking to you again next week. This is Marilyn Tam, your host for The Happiness Choice on FMG Network.
You've been listening to The Happiness Choice Show with host Marilyn Tam. For show info, schedule, and guest bio, be sure to visit www.fmgradio.com/Marilyn Tam. That's MARILYNTAM.